And good Saturday morning to you, and welcome into the Great Outdoor Show. And let me tell you, if you are not a fan of cold weather, well, maybe you ought to get your trip in before Monday, because it is coming. I have canceled my duck hunting trip for Tuesday with Mike Smith of Louisiana Marsh Guide Service. Going to be tough out there, maybe even hard to access the blind area because of low water. But he's out there this morning. As we open up the third split in the west zone of Louisiana, we'll get a duck blind update from him. And, boy, I got some good news for you duck hunters as far as what has moved into the state, obviously the result of some of that deep freeze north of us. Well, along with that deep freeze comes some unique fishing opportunities as well as some hazards to both fish and humans. Our Department of Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries has issued a fish kill warning and some instructions on what you should do if you encounter dead or dying fish, and we'll pass that along in just a few minutes. Also, our bad boy story, we have four alleged wabbit nappers to tell you about. And have you heard that Louisiana is implementing the first ever redfish stocking project? Well, it's well underway, and we with Bayou Wild TV have been documenting every stage for a future episode called Redfish Reload. We're going to talk about the plan, where it currently stands, and when and where those juvenile redfish are expected to be released. We'll be talking with RFRI, that is Recreational Fisheries Research Institute Director, and former Louisiana Wildlife and Fishery Secretary Randy Parsina. And if you've got any questions about our redfish stocking program, or if you had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd like to include it along with your comments and questions with the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that simply by texting your message real time into the studio here at 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Another question for you. What conditions are there just too cold to fish or hunt? What is your limit? When do you say, no mas, enough is enough? What does it take? Or is there anything that you wouldn't go out hunting and fishing in? Let me know, 504-260-1870. Here's your official Coastal Marine forecast from the National Weather Service. Offshore today, looking at southwest winds 10 to 15, 2 to 4 feet offshore. For tomorrow, those winds will switch around to the north and become much stronger, 20 to 25. Probably a small craft advisory will be issued, if not a gale warning. And on the interior today, you're looking at a west wind 10 to 15 knots with a moderate chop. And for tomorrow, north winds 15 to 20 and choppy. Mississippi River stage is at 7 feet and continues to rise. And if you're going duck hunting this morning, good news for you. The 2.25 million ducks that were counted earlier this week in for the month of January is quite a jump over the 1.56 million that were here in December. In fact, as far as the scaup, or dogri as we call them, it's a 500% increase. Green-winged teal, 386% increase. 166% increase, a little over 100% increase in ringneck. The only species that took a dive slightly was the pintail. They are down 67%. But there are lots of flying targets out there, and possibly even more with that approaching Arctic blast that's going to be hitting the Great Gulf South. So there it is. The stage is set. Hope you'll stay with us for our full 2 hours. We've got lots to talk about. Very interesting about our redfish stocking program. We'll talk with Randy Pacina about that. We'll be right back to kick all of that off, take you down to St. Bernard, check in with Robbie Campo, find out what the weather and fishing conditions are down there. That's where you're going to find one of those unique opportunities I was talking about. We'll tell you how to deal with it right after this. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Now, let's see if Robbie Campo's fitting those shrimp with some Gore-Tex jackets for this coming week. Robbie, good morning. I was fishing this week before the deep freeze hits us next week.
Well, you know, Don, earlier in the week was a little bit slow. Yesterday was a game changer. Water temperatures warmed up a little bit. Guys that got out yesterday, we had a few people out yesterday, went fishing. You know, Don, this thing with, you know, a lot of people are getting educated on jerk baits, mirror lures, you know, and they're being very successful with it. Me personally, I've never fished jerk baits that much. So I can't tell you a whole lot about it, but what I do know about them, what I do know is the guys that fished them yesterday did very well up the ship channel here going towards anywhere from Verrett all the way to Violet, going to the wall at Chalmette. They were suspended. They had a jerk bait. I don't really know. I didn't ask the name of what kind he was using, but he said it would dive about 3 feet, and you know you'd have to hit it. He said it was a lot of misses because you had to leave a little slack on the line, and that's when the trout would hit it. So educate yourself on jerk baits, especially when the water temperatures get around at 53 degrees. It is a very, very successful. I mean, they did very good on them yesterday. It was good. So with that said, the guys that went out and fished the long rocks yesterday with dead shrimp went and made meat run. They went and caught, you know, sheephead, puppy drums, and, you know, not any trout out there yesterday. Did have some. You know, they were catching some trout mixed in with them a little bit, but yesterday it was just drums and sheephead yesterday out there. In the deep holes around, in and around, you know, any one of these bayous along this Biloxi Marsh, up anywhere in the Mystigo, anywhere you could find it's got a deep hole stacked up with big blue cats. That's, you know, it really doesn't require a whole lot, you know, a piece of dead shrimp on the bottom, fishing straight up and down, should do it for you. You know, a 3/8 ounce jig head, you know, death grip jig head on the bottom with a, you know, with a piece of dead shrimp on it works just fine. So I still think you can come out and make a mixed bag. No live shrimp yet still. It's been, you know, I think it's going to be spring before we see any shrimp again. I do know some people that tried, some other boats that went out and tried 6, 8, 10, 15 shrimp. That's, you know, that's not feasible to go do this. So I kind of think that's over with for a little while. But we do have plenty of dead shrimp on hand, and we had some minnows, but we sold those out yesterday. So all I have today is dead shrimp. I know I'm getting a lot of calls about what's going to happen next week with this, are we going to have a jubilee next week? So more than likely, yes, we are going to, you know, the stars are going to align for this thing to happen. With that said, you know, Don, I tell people this because I don't want to see anybody get in trouble. They had a little jubilee go on, you know, a week ago over here. A lot of juvenile redfish. They did have some keepers in them, but a lot of the fish was 16, 17 inches. The guy standing next to you may be a wildlife agent in plain clothes. Don't do anything stupid. I'll tell you this because I don't want, somebody to get caught and have, you know, to go to court and all the other stuff for a fish. It's not worth it. They'll be there. They were there last week. You know, wildlife fishers is doing what they're supposed to do, but they may be there standing next to you with a pole in their hand. Make sure you do the right thing, guys. Don't go there and go get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, what we're talking about is right there in Bayou Lutry, which is the water body that runs right past the marina, circles back all the way to Hopedale, goes underneath the Wycloski Bridge, and you're going to find people parking their trucks and fishing the bank there. It's going to be extremely cold Monday and Tuesday, but it's a little deeper water, and those redfish will be stacking up in there. Bite is slow. I guess, Robbie, you're making up some little packages of the dead shrimp because that's what they want. You put them on, you know, a jig head, or you can fish with a sinker, get it down on the bottom and wait for that bite. But as you mentioned, keep your limit. And if there are any fish kills and you see dead or dying fish, you got to remember your possession limits are exactly the same. It doesn't change because they're dead fish. If you get caught with the fish, it's just as if you had caught them and you were over the limit. So I know it seems wasteful to let them go or just leave them, but that's the way the law is.
Yeah, and Don, unfortunately, we don't want anybody getting caught. You know, I remember I'm gonna go back here a couple of years ago when we had a freeze, real cold event, and we had one of these jubilees, and this will make you think twice about doing this kind of stuff. Guy had a Cadillac with. Took the tire out of the wheel well. And had an oyster sack there, and had, was filling it up with, and the size limit then was 16 inches. So he had a bunch of 15 fish, and the sack was full. So he gets caught. Took him to jail. Got tickets. This is a very costly ordeal for a fish. It's not worth it. My grandpa used to tell me something. He said, if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Well, that's one of the times that you win a stupid prize,
Some people
try to push the limits, And I get it. Right. I don't get it, but I know it happens. So, don't do that. Don't be that guy. Clean your mess up and let the next guy get in there and get him some. But I do think it's going to happen, Don. I really do. I think this coming Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, it's going to be on.
Yep, and reminder to be respectful of people's property because, if they're kind enough to allow you to get on their dock and fish or right close to it, please pick up your trash and go. And, it's not just a question of not being caught because you're breaking the law, but, it's the right thing to do as far as conservation. Catch your limit,
yeah.
Be happy you got them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Redfish are up on a rebound. We've had low rivers the last few years. Things are starting to turn around in the right direction. So, be mindful of that and let's get this fisheries where it needs to be.
All right, Robbie, we'll check in with you next week and see how it goes.
Yes, sir.
Put your jacket on. Stay warm. I know it never gets too cold for you not to hunt.
Yeah, right. You got that right. But I'm not looking forward to this, Don. Bye. Bye-bye.
I know what you mean. There he goes, Robbie Campo. Yeah, we got some chilly weather coming. All right, when we come back after this, Randy Pacina is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Redfish Stocking Program, Louisiana's first ever. We'll tell you what it's all about. Right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. As you may or may not be aware, we have a redfish stock enhancement program, basically stocking of redfish underway here in Louisiana. We at Bayou Wild TV are documenting every step of it, and we've been following it, and we plan to follow it through, and you can watch it on some upcoming episodes, but that might be a while. So we're giving you a sneak preview with the recreational Fisheries Research Institute Director Randy Pacina, who is spearheading this, and Randy joins us now. If you've got any questions about it, we invite you to text them to us at 504-260-187. Randy, good morning, and good to have you with us.
Great to be here, Don. Wish it was a little later.
Well, this is the time the fishermen are up and listening, and with the forecast, I think we're going to probably have a good audience to hear about it, and it's good news. Tell us about this redfish stocking program. Why was it deemed necessary, and why is it important?
Great question. In my former life, I was the head of fisheries for the state. I worked for wildlife fisheries for 25 years. Again, as you know. Think about it, growing up fishing redfish trout here, we felt like, oh man, this is bountiful. We have endless supply of everything in Louisiana, particularly fish. But, as our marsh deteriorates and the conditions aren't right, or there's more fresh water, what have you, we started noticing a trending downward in fish populations, and particularly redfish. Just like your caller before said, a lot of it has to do with too much fresh water. Maybe there's too much snow up north, too much river discharge. Lots of things cause it. So we never thought about it over the years till recently. And in fact, the funny part is every Gulf state has a marine saltwater fish stocking program, except for Louisiana. And now, we stock bass and crappie and perch and all that, but never saltwater fish or redfish. And so anyway, at the most recent stock assessment, it's not looking good for redfish. And anecdotally, the anglers out there don't see it as well. Now, you know that natural cycles in the population, we have good years, we have bad years, but overall the trend seems to be going downward. So why wouldn't we be supplementing that stock with saltwater, you know, through a stock enhancement program like redfish? Think about it this way, Don, you know, if you have, you pay your insurance on a house, right? You pay insurance for a reason, right? So if your house, if the roof flew off or caught on fire or whatever, got flooded in the storm, you couldn't come up with $200,000-$300,000 just laying around to go fix or rebuild or buy a new house. But you do have enough money to spend a little bit every year in insurance as an insurance policy for that. And that's how we see this redfish stock enhancement program. We hope that the natural cycles in the populations will bring them back. We'll have a lot of good redfish. But if not, on the off years, we're constantly releasing fish. In the fishery release, we're releasing them directly into the marsh. They're 2 to 3 inches. They're going right into the marsh. They have a good chance to survive. The natural populations, as you know, they're spawned offshore, and we're dependent on Mother Nature to blow them in and get into the marsh and be safe. So you could have a year where you don't have a lot of good, steady southeast winds pushing the fish in. Maybe it's because of hurricanes. Maybe it's because of all sorts of different reasons, or too much fresh water coming out of the river, and it blows those fish away. Now, those eggs may go to another state. They may stay offshore. The salinity is too low. They sink into the mud and die. So we think there's a big need for a stock enhancement program. Maybe we don't have to release 10 million fish every year, but we need to be releasing some fish every year. Get this program up and running and have that insurance policy for the future.
All right, Randy, when we come back, while this is groundbreaking for Louisiana, it has been done by our Gulf Coast neighbors in Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. I want you to talk about what successes they've enjoyed, and also we'll get to the meat of our plan, how it's going to work, what it's all about. We're talking with Randy Pacina, director of the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, former Office of Fishery guy with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and we'll be back to continue this conversation right after this. All right, Louisiana's redfish stocking program is underway. We're talking with Randy Pacina, who is with the Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, former Office of Fishery official with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and we're going to get to the meat of the plan. But first, we got to pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And if you got a question or comment, we've got a few of them coming in. You can text us to us at 504-260-1870, and maybe you'll have some more comments after you hear about the plan. Randy, we mentioned Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida have done hatchery-based stockings. How has it proven out for them?
Well, again, another good question. So, you know, traditionally, all these fish that are released had to be marked by some physical marker. And it makes it hard to identify those fish. So historically, the fish being released from a hatchery and then being recaptured through some sort of monitoring program, you know, it could be anywhere from 1 to 5, 6, 7% of the fish released or captured. In other words, they make it to the fishery. So when Louisiana's redfish, size number was 16, that's when I say make it to the fishery, that means they make it to 16 inches, or now it's 18 inches, I guess. So, but there's new technology out there now, and that's what really speared us up to start this program in Louisiana using the new genetic technology. So now you see, not to get in the weeds on that, but now you see programs all across the country, California, South Carolina, Texas, Florida, where with the genetic marker, you're seeing a real benefit to releasing the fish, and some words up to 10, 20, 25%. So it's a genetic marker. Every fish is has a unique genetic code. So we take the genetic information from the broodstock fish, the fish that we capture to act as the parent fish, and then all the fish we sample out in the wild, we can compare it to the broodstock to see if they're offspring. And with this program, we can actually see their children or the grandchildren of the offspring. So now you see most programs are, 24% of the fish in the wild population have their origins from the hatchery. That's pretty significant. Think about it. Of the billions and billions of hatch eggs in the natural spawn, I can promise you that number, it isn't 1% that make it to the, you know, make it to the hatchery size, make it to that 16, 18 inch fish.
Well, I got to tell you that I was going to say that genetic technology now has really made the evaluation so much more accurate, where you can really see the results of your program. If you would, Randy, let's get into the plan itself. Tell us how the plan has started, what's been done so far, and what's coming down for the future.
Well, again, Don, we thought it was a good idea with this new technology out there to be able to demonstrate that it's not, you know, it's not wasting money in the water, that it's a good deal and we should do this. So, you know, I had retired from the state in 2016. And so about 2 years ago, I kind of went to visit with David Cressel and the CCA. I said, David, let's do this program. The technology's here to do it. I got the time to do it. So we started visiting the department, and we finally talked them into giving us a pilot permit to go out and do something, which we got towards the end of Governor Edwards' regime. And now with the new regime, Governor Landry, they've been super, super supportive of this program. So we actually finally got out this fall and we collected our brood stock. You know, we collected some of our first fish from east and west of the river at the CCA Ride the Bull kayak tournament this past fall. And then I've gone back out a couple times to Grand Island, Venice, and supplemented some fish. So we have 11 brood stock of parrotfish at the hatchery in Mississippi, University of Southern Mississippi. Now, they have to go through 150-day conditioning program, and that's where the fish are tricked into believing it's fall again, and so they'll be primed to spawn or reproduce. And that should happen at the end of April of this year. At that point, it'll take about 2 months, maybe three, for those fish to get, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches, and then we'll take the fish, bring them back to Louisiana and release them. What we plan to do for this first release, which is only going to be 100,000 fish for the pilot study, is to release some in the Wrigley's, release some in Grand Isle, and release some over in Lake Charles to kind of spread it out.
Very good. Now, I saw those fish over at the in Ocean Springs at the Mississippi Hatchery, and they looked very healthy and very good. When should we expect these fish to be mature enough to where people are catching them? And how would you complete that genetic testing to ensure that these were, in fact, some of the fish that were hatched and released?
So the fish we released them this summer. It'll be a year. In a year, they'll hit the fishery. You know, they'll be that 18 inches that where somebody could actually catch one of them. The other good part, not only the advancement in the technology to be able to identify these fish, but the department under Governor Landry has dedicated to doing the monitoring for us. And that's a big deal. As you know, 12 months out of the year, Louisiana Department of Wildlife Fisheries has sampling teams out there pulling gill nets and trammel nets and seines. So from the get-go, from the first release of our fish, LDWF will be pulling fish, and what they do is they cut a fin clip, just a little piece of the fin. They put it in a vial with some alcohol, and they send it to Southeastern University here in Hammond, and that's where our genetic team is. And they'll start testing those fish to see if they are wild fish or they hatchery raised fish.
Very good. Randy, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I was really impressed with both the personnel and the facility there in Ocean Springs at Mississippi's Hatchery. I want you to explain to people why, if you can, why there is no fish hatchery here in Louisiana when our neighbors to the east and west both have those. If you got a question or a comment, you can text me at 504-260-1870. We're talking reloading the redfish in Louisiana waters. It's coming. We'll be right back after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. If you're just getting up and tuned in, we've been talking with Randy Pacino of RFRI. We're talking about Louisiana's first ever stocking program, and the brood stock have been captured. They've been brought to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to their fish hatchery, where they will be tricked into spawning sometime in April. Those brood stock, those fingerlings, will be transported back here to Louisiana, They're also genetically tagged. They'll be released in the Wrigley's, Grand Isle, and Lake Calcasieu areas, and hopefully we'll get some similar results to what has been done and enjoyed by Texas and Mississippi and other states. As I mentioned, Randy, I was really impressed with that Ocean Springs facility. They got some really great people over there, and they've got some great resources. As I recall, we had plans and, I believe, funding to create a Louisiana hatchery. What happened to that?
That's right. If you remember, I think 2014, you know, after the BP oil spill, there was money available. And at the time, Gary Graves was the head of CPRA, and he made $25 million available to Wildlife Fisheries to build a hatchery. We were going to build it over in the Cameron Calcasieu area. And then the administrations changed. You know, politics sometimes gets involved in things, unfortunately. And when the administrations changed, the governors changed, they wanted to do something else with the money, and they moved it to another program.
Any idea on when that idea may come back again? Because obviously this is something that we are going to need, and Louisiana deserves it. We should have that.
Well, I can tell you, this administration released a million dollar grant for aquaculture, in particularly finfish aquaculture. And a company... Dr. Stephen Pollock has a small oyster hatchery at the LSU Innovation Park, and he won the grant, and I've been communicating with him, and he's going to move forward to do exclusively stock enhancement finfish raising or redfish. And so I think he just signed all the paperwork in January, and he's starting to retool and buy all the equipment. So maybe, I'm not exactly sure this is his timeline, but we think easily next year or within 2 years, we can have a Louisiana hatchery again. Well, not again, but for the first time producing our own redfish.
That would be fantastic, and please keep us apprised of that. Randy, fishermen will be happy to hear that there's not one red cent coming from their pockets for this program, but it does take an awful lot of funding. You have found some very valuable supporters, and you might want to talk about a little bit of a debt of gratitude fishermen owe to them for providing the funding to do this project.
Absolutely. When we started first pushing this, you know, the Department of Wildlife Fisheries has the budget, and they just didn't have the budget in place, and they were going through some rough times. Just remember, they had to do a relicensing structure to make some money. And I was very anxious to get the permit and get the program going, because I knew the groundswell was great out there to get this done. And so we pledged that, look, if they help us with the monitoring and they help us do everything they can, get us the permit, support us, we will fundraise and make this happen. Of course, right away, you know, RFRI and its donors put up a bunch of money. CCA Louisiana was first in line to participate, and they are my number one partner in this project. Air Products also came through with a big donation. Louisiana Natural Gas came through. AFCO, American Fish and Tackle Company, Louisiana Charter Association. A lot of groups have stood up, West Bank Fishing. A lot of groups have stood up and made some significant donations, and we need more. Look, the more money we raise, the more fish we can release, and that's the bottom line.
So if we have someone that's listening, business personnel especially, that may be interested in sponsoring and contributing to this program or the building of the fish hatchery or whatever, and volunteers, I guess you can never get enough volunteers, how can they contact someone?
Don, they can always call me or go to our website, which is pretty easy. It's rfri.net, rfri.net. There's a page on the website devoted to the redfish stock enhancement program. There's also ways to donate through the website. You just press the button, donate here. My phone number is on the website as well. It's 504-415-7186, 504-415-7186. They can call or text me. They can go to the website, donate directly. Or they can get the contact information off the website and go to the website and read about the updates on the program.
Yeah, they're welcome to contact me because I have all of your information. I'll be happy to put them in touch with you if they're driving and didn't get a chance to jot down those numbers. Randy, this is very exciting. I tell you, we're really enjoying it at Bayou Wild TV, tracking it, and I can't wait till we air the episodes showing the whole process of capturing and spawning the fish and then returning them to the other fish waters. And an even more exciting of that is the first day when we start seeing some very positive results from this program. And I want to thank you for your hard work and your involvement in spearheading this program. You've done an excellent job.
Well, thank you, Don. I enjoy it. It's always a pleasure working with you and chatting. So thanks for having us on.
All right. Thanks again, Randy. We'll talk next time.
Okay. Take care.
There he goes, Randy Pocino with the RFRI. All right, I got some comments in. We'll get to those in the next hour. We also got some fishing reports coming up. In fact, I got one just a few minutes away. We'll check in on Grand Isle and talk to Captain Darryl Carpenter, find out what he's doing to prepare for the big deep freeze. Are you ready? We'll be back to find out after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we say good morning to Captain Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Darryl, did you get a chance to listen to Randy Pocino talk about the redfish stocking program, and what do you think about it?
I did, Don. In fact, I was one of the taxi boats that transported the fish back to the tanks during the Ride the Bull tournament, and it sounds like a wonderful program, and you couldn't find anybody a whole lot better to run it. Randy's a great guy.
Yes, he is. Well, Darryl, we're getting ready for a deep freeze, and you've seen and witnessed fish kills down there in Grand Isle. I don't know if they're to be expected. A lot of time it depends on how quickly that temperature drops, trapping those fish before they can, you know, exit and get out to deeper, warmer water. What are you looking for, given the figures that tell us what temperatures we'll be reaching?
Well, I'm a little bit apprehensive about this one, Don, because we've got this warm up. And with this south wind that we've been having, the water temperature is coming up to almost 60 degrees, which is, it's pretty warm for this time of the year as far as those fish are concerned. And then you're going to have multiple days. Last forecast I saw last night was snow all the way out into the Gulf, with several days of right at freezing temperatures. So and we're going to a dead tide, so we're not going to have a whole lot of incoming tide to bring that warm water in. So on this one, hopefully we don't have too much of a fish kill. The conditions are setting up right for it to drop pretty daggum quick. Let's hope that it we've on such a rebound. We had such a good year this past year with prospects of a really good year coming. I just hope that those fish find them a place to hunker down and find them a nice quilted blanket and, get under it. Because it looks like it's going to be pretty, it's going to be a pretty good freeze this time. It's going to last a little while. It's coming at a time where the fishing has just started to get really, really good. I mean, man, this past week with those moderating temperatures, we had some really good fishing reports. Trout all the way up in Lafitte. I mean, just all the way from the mid-marsh all the way up to Lafitte. And then again, the side of the road just continues to produce. I mean, it's not everybody every day, but, man, last week there were several good days on side of the road producing a lot of trout.
Well, Darryl, drawing back on your years of experience down there in Grand Isle, are there any tactics that you change or things that you'd go to following a warm-up once this thing passes and turn to some kind of normalcy for temperature-wise?
Yeah, Don. This time of the year, you got to be willing to put up with your cold days, and you got to realize that, on these days when it's going to start off, the morning start off so cool, and you watch your tides and you watch your water temperature. It's not always, you don't have to leave at, daylight or within an hour of daylight. I mean, you watch for your incoming tide that's going to bring you warmer water. You watch for the sun to come up, that way it warms the water on the flats. And sometimes this time of the year, not stepping on the boat till 10, 11 o'clock in the morning is the way to go. If you're going to fish when it's cooler, you got to look for your deeper holes. You got to slow it down a whole lot. A lot of times just going to Carolina rig and letting your bait sit. The good thing about this time of the year, most of the hardheads have migrated offshore, so you don't have to put up with the catfish. You find them, it's either going to be sheephead, trout, redfish, or black drum. You might hit some spots where you get no bites. And it's just because, you know, the fish are either very lethargic or they've moved on to another place. But usually when you do find them this time of the year, it is the, you know, it's the kind of fish that's going to go in the ice chest. Just slow it down. A lot of times the dead shrimp are the way to go. You add that extra insurance to it with that smell. And then, you know, you get those good bluebird days a couple of days after a front. When the sun's out and warming it up, you just follow those fish up that ledge. And sometimes you're lucky enough that you actually get them up on the flats.
You know, another good thing about fishing this time of year is with all the hunting seasons going on and the temperatures dropping, you know, not what I'm talking about in extremes, but when it does warm back up, you just don't have the fishing competition for the spots. It's a whole lot easier to pick your spot and be in seclusion. Well, Darryl, look, I got you on my website. You've been there for a long time at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Somebody wants to get in touch with you. What other ways can they reach you to find out about available dates?
Well, they can always go to our site at realscreamers.com or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Stay warm. We'll check with you next week.
Oh, trust me. I heard your preamble coming into this about what is he doing to get ready for this hard freeze. I've been in the grocery store. I'm under my blanket. I ain't leaving out the house unless I have to.
I got you. All right, Darryl. See you next time, buddy. Thanks for that report, as always. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, well, I'm going to tell you what Wildlife and Fisheries says you should do if you come across some significant numbers of dead or dying fish. We've also got some reports coming in from Captain Mike Gallo. We're going to talk about the current Bayou Wild episode that is running. A tribute to Dutch Prager, a regular listener to this program and a regular fishing buddy of Captain Mike's and mine and many other people. If you haven't seen it, we'll tell you how to watch it. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Paddler's Report with Brendan Bayard, and we're going to visit a couple of duck blinds. We're going to drop in on Captain Ryan Lambert and Mike Smith and find out if those wildlife and fishery flyover reports are accurate. And we've got a shot in the arm for a lot of ducks coming down to Louisiana because of the cold weather up north. And don't forget, Bad Boy, four alleged wabbit nappers, all coming up on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.